So we're here with Mates Records for Margate Mercury today. We've got Eric and Thule with us. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
We are a small independent record label, CD record label.
CD only.
Well, digital as well,
oh, yeah,
I suppose.
That's true. But
we kind of started it to facilitate musicians who we thought didn't have platforms, maybe in the other avenues of the music business, or, you know, it's a small scale thing, so it's very, you know, people that are kind of starting out, but it's kind of providing a platform for those people, releasing their music in a physical format.
So, and why CDs?
Because they are more affordable than vinyl, but also because I record a lot of the bands, and I'm very into, well, we're both audiophiles, you know, we're really into
me, not as much as him,
I'm really worried about it, but we're really into sound quality in that, and CDs and vinyl are really the two highest qualities, because as you get into Spotify or even a tape, as cool as tapes are, it's very compressed and squashed down, and having a first-hand experience of what it sounded like recording it, I kind of wanted to represent that as closely as possible. And also, we like the idea of physical items alongside.
Make them more memorable and more special,
yeah,
for the,
exactly,
the bands and for people
and
getting them.
And also, it was kind of, because Neil Young tried to start this Pono, and that was like a full audio quality digital, you know, like download thing, but that didn't take off, and
it's,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised really, because who wants to be able to store like 10 songs on their phone or whatever? So it's,
we're
kind
just
of
trying
like
to finish off what Neil started,
making it even less convenient than that by making someone have to buy a CD player. But no, that was kind of the thought behind it, having a, and also making it so it wasn't too focused on money and making gains back and all that, and make it more of a casual process where the
band can control what they're putting,
yeah,
out,
and they're not
there,
worried about breaking even and things like that.
It's not under the thumb of any music industry,
yeah,
execs.
Except us.
Yeah, just us.
I noticed as well that a lot of the releases have something extra with them. So some releases with comic books, some with Rizzler papers.
Yeah.
What's the thought behind that? Is that to do with collectability?
Yeah, I think it's collectability.
Just to make it special and kind of something you're less likely to throw away, I guess.
And it's also an incentive to buy physical
rather than just stream online.
And also in this day and age where vinyl's obviously had a huge resurgence, it's maybe harder to encourage someone to buy a CD, you know. But if you have something, a little something extra that kind of, yeah, a collectible item or something that gives it kind of a little extra special sauce, you know, that's kind of a nice thing to do. We did one that was, Tui actually made a like 3D film, and we did a screening. It was like a sound, our brother made the music, and it was a soundtrack to this 3D film, and we gave 3D glasses away with the release and had a screening of it, which was quite nice.
At
like
Margate Arts Club.
At Margate Arts Club, yeah. That was a little while ago now, actually.
That was quite a while ago. That was a good one.
You mentioned the Arts Club there. What is your connection with Margate historically, and how much do you kind of work with other residents and creatives,
yeah,
locally?
Well,
we've lived in Kent for, well, me for my whole life, Eric for his whole life, apart from 3 years in Brighton.
Yeah, and I played gigs here when I was in my teenage years at the Tom Thumb. 7 years ago, I started playing gigs here, and just always felt that it was really nice. Even then, prior to more people coming down, there was just something about it that was, seemed like a community. You know, you can get into bigger cities and towns, and it's very impersonal,
anonymous. And
yeah, and we've lived here for 2 years, so we haven't lived here for too long, but even our next release actually is we're releasing an album with Charlie Hanna, who runs the Grain Grocer with his wife Kathy.
Yeah.
So that's a nice kind of, like, we met him just through living here and him running a business, and kind of got together about that, and we're excited about that, so we'll be releasing that this summer. But yeah, it's I think you know more people than me. You're
it's only because I work at Cliffs.
Yeah. but it's everyone that I do meet who does something, it's always interesting to talk to them, and there is a lot of opportunity for collaboration or just helping each other out, I think, which is a nice kind of...
Also, the kind of music community being built with by, like, Sammy's attitude, Sammy being the person that kind of started, like, yeah, going on gigs and stuff. Like, he's so generous and so nice and just wants bands to play and have people watching them. That's literally all he cares about. Yeah, so it kind of made it the nicest atmosphere.
Yeah, I think he set a precedent in a way, because I'd play in towns around the UK and occasionally you'd come across someone who's a bit like Sammy, but a lot of people who work in that those fields can be quite cutthroat and like quite thinking about their losses and stuff, and
they don't care as much.
Sammy was really facilitated a lot of people starting out, which was kind of like probably inspiring to us for how we chose to do it, because it's not we don't do it because we think it's going to be a big success or anything. It's a way of facilitating new artists or bands or even young people or people that have maybe low confidence in doing that, trying to help people out in that way, you know.
And that's Sammy who runs Arts Call.
Yes, sorry,
and elsewhere.
How do you kind of work with people like him? Do you look to kind of promote the acts on your label and kind of get them gigs and things like
that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like we also just, when we like something, we'll show it to Sammy and vice versa, and it's kind of like try and get involved with it. Or Sammy always helps us with our release shows as well. He'll always promote our release shows with us, which facilitates that
and allows us to do it at, you know, elsewhere. Or prior, we'd do it at the Tom Thumb, and Sammy, because he's a local promoter and he knows lots of people and is kind of a good way of getting it out to people, more people, so he's helped us out a lot in those ways. So.
And what would you say about how you select artists? Is there any kind of limitations geographically or in terms of genre?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe geographically, just in a sense of it being able, because we rely quite heavily on making it an event of a release show and things like that, but I don't think we'd limit it if it's feasible, really, and genre.
I think
likewise.
Probably the one of the main things is we normally only release people once we know that we sort of get along quite well with them and have a similar ethos to them, which is obviously slightly more different if you're getting maybe someone emails you saying, "Oh, would you release our band?" and you just hear their song and don't know the person so well. I think it relies quite heavily on us.
That's true.
Really liking and respecting the people that are doing it.
Yeah, I think I've had experiences because I've recorded a lot of bands, and sometimes it's just obviously different approaches, but sometimes it's maybe a little bit more of a competitive attitude rather than a helping each other out kind of attitude. And I think we more likely select someone who's wanting to kind of give everyone a leg up, kind of like help each other out. And
a community.
Yeah,
so
more of a community than a competition, you know.
Good. How did you get into it in the first place? Were you musicians yourselves?
Or? Yeah.
Well, Eric was first.
Yeah, I play in a gang. I play in a band called Gang, and Tuli, who's my sister, joined once she finished school.
Which was almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah. And we've been playing for years, and we kind of hadn't peeped into the underneath the veil of some aspects of the music business that didn't kind of like sit that well with us, didn't suit us, and
just wanted to take control of it and
have more of an input, because there was times when we'd release with a label or something and really have no input on where money was spent, and sometimes wasn't spent very wisely, in my opinion. I think you can be, and it was kind of just an inspiration because I was recording a lot of bands and we were meeting a lot of musicians, and it was kind of like, well, all these people don't really have a platform either. They do it because they really care about it. It's not like they want to be famous or make lots of money, you know, and it was kind of just an inspiration to...
And there was a really strong community of a group of bands that were all going to each other's shows and all really liked each other, and it was like a small community, but everyone was very enthusiastic for the people doing it, and it kind of just felt like we should do something to sort of legitimise that, and in a small way, just doing releases for those bands, just kind of, I don't know what the word is.
I think legitimise. Yeah, like kind of brought it into reality, so it wasn't just like, you know,
something that would just kind of slip away and be forgotten about.
And what is the future for Mates Records?
Well, the next release we have is, as I said, Charlie Hannah, who runs Grey and Grocer.
Standing on the Verge of Getting a Cold is the name of the album.
Standing on the Verge of Getting a Cold is the 18 track sprawling epic. He's invented.
That's what he's described as.
He's invented a new genre called domestica, which is music about domestic household life, which.
And the human condition.
And the human condition. That's great.
And his live shows are also amazing. He has like a very amazing band that plays for him.
Really incredibly good.
Really good.
Like how many people in the band? One, two.
Like him plus.
Eight people? In, with the two singers as well? Maybe including him.
Seven, including him, isn't it? Six?
Seven.
That's a busy household.
Yeah.
Yeah, a busy household, exactly. But beyond that, I think, because we also release our own band on the label, because I didn't initially intend for that, but it kind of just, we did a number of releases, and then I thought, I don't really want to shop our music around. I'd rather just have it in our hands. So we'll be doing more stuff and probably more releases from the bands we've already released, if they are wanting to do that, as well as kind of, it's very kind of,
see as we go.
Yeah, organic kind of, if it seems to just kind of tick along. So
something always comes up.
We had a little break from doing releases because we had like a very busy year last year, but I think it's probably going to pick up again now, because we had a few opportunities to do things, stuff like that, but I think it was kind of like we were focusing on band stuff and touring. So but yeah, I think we'll be releasing Charlie's album in the summer. We haven't got a strict date because we were going to release it around this time, but we had to postpone it.
So in the next few months.
Yeah,
no,
and
no,
I think we'll be doing a launch show at the Tom Thumb.
Yeah.
So yeah, keeping it in the community.
Because Eric recorded, there's two bands called Fuoco and Inevitable Daydream. Fuoco are no more, but Inevitable Daydream still live in Margate. They are here with us now. And Eric basically had recorded an EP for Fuoco and the beginnings of an album for Inevitable Daydream, and neither of them had that many prospects of what they were going to do with it. It was probably just going to get released online and stuff. And I think me and Eric just both got aggressively excited about how good we thought it was. It's just like, we're gonna spend money on making this actually a bit of a thing.
Yeah, I think basically what it was I was sat on the train and I suddenly had this thought, and then Tooley did pretty much everything to make it happen.
Eric's the face of it and I'm the admin
guy. I'm the friendly face of the corporation. Yeah, it's nice because a lot of the artists we've worked with are based in Margate now. Actually, a lot of them have moved down since us releasing them.
So like Inevitable Daydream.
Inevitable Daydream.
And they've released, like, we did a split album with them as well, since Gang with two songs and Daydream with two
Gang
songs.
Gang and Inevitable Daydream did a split album, and prior to that we released their first album. And they were really kind of good, like, heavy, psychedelic rock kind of
just
really good. I mean, they've got some different flavors going on, and then there's a band called Lazy Pilgrims
who we know through Inevitable Daydream. They kind of introduced us to them, and
they moved down
last year,
and we released their EP in February.
February just gone.
And they're kind of shoegazy, spacey,
kind of
really melodic kind
just
of thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
And they play it elsewhere a lot and just around Margate a fair bit.
Yeah. And then obviously our band is based here too.
So let's big us up.
No, we'll skip that. also our brother who did a project called World War 3D, he's living here as well, and that was kind of like an electronic
synthesizer sort of.
Yeah, it was quite hard
voyage
to define. It's quite like soundtracky, almost like the Twin Peaks soundtrack or something like that. It's quite atmospheric, synth-led. I mean, there's some guitar and some drums on it and things like that, but it's mainly kind of electronic, kind of not quite ambient, but also not really traditional strong song structures. So, is there any others that are based around?
I think they're the...
There's a few others from Kent, general Kent area, and then there's some from Brighton, and some who were in London who are now.
And also a lot of people who we have released have, do other projects now kind of with different members. So it's kind of like there's like a few bands floating around that we have kind of worked with the members of who are really good. So
it's a breeding ground.
Yeah.
So you kind of work with artists on a per release basis then?
Yes. Kind of, yeah, yeah. It's not like we're tied to them. I mean, I'd be very happy for any of them if they
wanted,
if they
to, come
wanted to come back, and likewise if they wanted to shop around something and try and get onto a larger label. It's kind of just like meant to be a springboard for whatever they want. If they would rather just keep it independent and small scale, which is understandable, I think that's more to my kind of taste. But also if they want to kind of like take it to a different level commercially or in terms of exposure, that's also something we would support, you know. So.
And how about Makes Records? Do you want to keep that independent and small?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah. I have a weird paranoia that I just think things may become corrupted if it gets too... not that we'd ever
if
necessarily
become too powerful,
have the opportunity
we know that we'd
to.
Become corrupt.
I think it's just personally for me and Thule, not something that is that appealing of a concept, because I'd rather like try and build something in a small community. It's like
we have a similar approach between mates as we have with the band, which is just we want to create a catalogue of lots of things we've done, and we don't really mind if it doesn't,
it's an archive,
get,
you know,
like,
of
thrown out there. It's sort of just we just want it to be there,
and I think it's important to archive things even if they're not well known and they're small, because it's still a snapshot in time of a place or
it also
a thing.
Creates a connection between all the bands we've released, so if in 20 years someone happens to hear a Lazy Pilgrim song, they might go back and get linked to all the different bands we've released, and the whole little community gets a little bit of a push in that way, I suppose.
How does being siblings and working together affect the label, do you think?
I think it's a good thing, because we're very honest.
There's telepathy going on.
Yeah, we're honest with each other, though. We're very, you know, I think if one of us thinks something is not a good idea, we'll say it.
Yeah.
But equally, we get on very well, so it's...
We're a very close, or like us and our other brother, a very close unit anyway. Yeah. We all live together, so it's kind of...
Yeah, and we're kind of... I think it also helps because we were brought up around music a lot, and also our dad was a musician, and he kind of was very staunchly... independent
in the way he did things,
yeah, and I think it kind of inspired us to be that way.
And he always put a bit of a mistrust in us for letting other people handle what we're creating.
a skepticism. It's probably a control freak problem, but I think it's just more as I said earlier, it could be there have been times when I've been very frustrated when I felt certain things were being taken out of our hands that probably shouldn't have been taken out of our hands, if you know what I mean. And
it's nice just being able to get the final say on the thing you're creating, and I think we try and give,
and also
the
market in a loose term, but how you present it to someone. For instance, we had a problem with the label in the past where we released a 7-inch record and it cost £13, and I thought, what kid is going to be able to spend £13 on a 7-inch record? That's you know, it's not something I agree with, do you know what I mean?
But you don't even get the choice.
Yeah, and it was just kind of, that's the way it is. So that's another thing, actually. We do try and, as much as possible, facilitate what the artist or band wants in terms of the package, in terms of how much it costs, as much as we can, in terms of how much the release
even
show
like
will
with
be.
Lazy Pilgrims, they were really adamant they didn't want to have plastic in their thing. They wanted it to be paper, so we made it a card sleeve rather than doing,
and
which we've done
a poster
like
with it,
it's like that sort of thing. Like if they have particular ideas of what they want, and if in another situation they maybe wouldn't get that say, we just try and
facilitate, basically.
So what's the band called?
It's called Gang.
It is Gang,
which is not very easy to Google, but I think if you type in...
And we're both wearing our T-shirts.
Well, it's rude. I'm not sure if that's allowed, but it says fuck on, which was...
Oh, you've got a history of swearing. Don't worry about it.
We can tell that story. That's quite a fun one.
This is a funny story, actually. We played at Dreamland...
Last summer?
Last summer.
At 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
And it was... it was basically, there was a battle of the bands, and we were asked to play at the end of it, not to be part of the battle of the bands.
Because I think basically they had a big band booked and they pulled out. And they kind of desperately were like, we need a band, and Sammy put us up.
So they offered us money to do it, and we thought, great, we'll do that. And
It was out on the outside stage. It was being broadcast through all the speakers to the whole park.
Yeah, and we had a 30-minute song that was our set. It was just one song that was 30 minutes long, and there was some very intense profanity around 7 minutes into it.
Something like that.
And I think we'd kind of been like, oh, I was
Eric's the one that said it, and we all kind of were like, it was we all probably a bit shouldn't. Green, like, and we're probably not going to do that.
We were playing and the sun was shining, and
Friends were stood in a little line at the barriers, and then just like emptiness apart from like a few scattered groups.
And I just thought, I'm just going to do it. And I did it. And the manager runs on stage and he's shouting at our brother Jimmy, who drums in the band.
Being like, are you the singer? Are you the singer? And Jimmy was just jazzing about on the drums going, sometimes.
And then he runs over to me and I said, I'm really sorry, man. All the while we're playing.
Yeah, because it's a constant song. So we're all playing while this is going on.
I'm having a conversation with him, I'm saying, there's no more profanity. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done it.
They've got like the whole, like, they've got like 15 Dreamland security guards at the side of the stage, as if we're going to need to be like dragged out of the entire park.
But I mean, at the end of it, it was fine because I think the guy who was the events manager, who Sammy knew, thought it was funny. But
I think they were just pretty worried because there was a lot of families around and they thought.
It probably wasn't the best idea, but they didn't get any complaints. So luckily, all was fine. That was a little unnecessary rebel moment. I probably shouldn't have done it, but it is a funny story. So,
well done for being allowed to stay here, and thank you for coming and speaking to us today.